You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Welcome to episode 24 of the Mind Over Markets podcast with myself, Mark Borscht, and my host,
George Papazov.
In today's show, we've got an exciting topic planned. We're going to be talking on how to know when you're ready to go full-time with your trading. We're going to be touching on some of the common mistakes that most people make when considering this kind of transition, and we'll also walk through a set of steps that you can kind of use as a guideline in order to get a better understanding of where you're currently sitting within this journey. So before we actually take a jump into this topic, let's hear a quick message from the sponsor of this podcast, TradePro Academy.
Thank you, Marky. And today, it's a very quick, brief, an important message I want to share with you. We're going to be talking about leaving your job and or transitioning to trading full-time. And I think it's important to think about how you started your other full-time job. At the beginning, you were put into a training program where they more than likely sent you around different departments to talk to different people to learn and absorb. Trading is no different. You don't want to start out a new career by being in the corner by yourself of your bedroom. What you want to do is surround yourself with people who are in this industry, who have been in this industry, and are currently succeeding, and others who are on their way to succeeding, so you could learn and absorb within a group of traders who have walked your journey before you. Check out TradePro Academy. We're a community of professional and consistent traders, and we trade together on a daily basis. So join our winning team.
Awesome. Thanks for that great message, Georgie. So listen, guys, in order to give yourself the best shot of success at full-time trading, it's really, really important to understand some of the realities behind the gig that you don't really tend to see on social media. It's not the visible side of social media. And we discussed this topic in a deep dive format in last week's show. That was episode 23. And we really suggest you guys check that episode out really before proceeding with the remainder of this one, because you're going to get a lot of insights on what you don't typically see on the truth behind, you know, full-time trading, some of the psychological stresses and the challenges that you'll face in making that shift. And in today's episode, we're going to be doing a little bit of a different dive here on when you've really gone through that episode and we haven't really scared you off yet. You know, you're going to be one of the rare few. All right.
Brave ones are here.
Well, yeah. One of the brave few. So if you have listened to that episode and, you know, you're still here and you're still willing and you're committed to becoming a full-time trader, then great. You know, this is the right place to be and you are one of the rare few. But before we can actually give you guys the steps that you want to follow, we're going to have to set some expectations, because at the end of the day, that's what's super important. And you don't see a lot of that in this industry. So let's take a look at some of the common mistakes that people make when going full time. All right. There's a certain way to do it, a structured way to do it. And then there's the non-structured way to do it, the kind of arm on the wall, if you will, just kind of going for it. And people make a lot of mistakes, and we've come across a lot of traders in our community and even that reach out to us externally that ask, you know, I've been profitable for a while. I don't really know, I feel consistent enough, but I don't really know when the right time to make that switch is. And sometimes it's a psychological thing. A majority of the times it's a psychological thing. Sometimes it's a monetary thing that's holding people back. But at the end of the day, these are the most common kind of mistakes that we tend to see. So let's dive into these. Georgie, if you want to take this off.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, why is it important that we start this episode with common mistakes? Is because a lot of us, it's not that we don't succeed at things because we're doing the wrong things or that we're not doing the right things, but it's more so that we're doing the wrong things. So for example, if you're a professional athlete on a team, you know, if you listen to interviews, what do the coaches usually say? I trust that player. You know, there's a trust that's built. And the trust is based on consistency. And the trust isn't that you're going to go out there and score, you know, 10 points a game or like 3 goals in hockey or whatever it is. You know, the point is that you're not going to screw up the clutch plays. And I think this is what's important here as we cover some of these common mistakes. It's if you could avoid a lot of these pitfalls, you know, your journey is almost going to be that much smoother. It's just a matter of time. because a lot of people exit because these common mistakes. Common mistake number one is the biggest one, I think, by far. It's expecting a smooth sale from the start. And what we're talking about here is an unrealistic expectation that you're going to jump in this business and immediately succeed. And because that's your expectation, you're now using those expectations to create goals. Month number one, replace my income. Month number two, double my income. Month number three, triple my income, and so on.
And then those Lambos.
And then month number four, Lambos, obviously. And setting these unrealistic expectations is a great way to be dissatisfied regardless of how much you learn. Understand that at the beginning, you know, your goal is to learn. And so if you're setting a goal to say month number one, I'm going to be profitable. If you finish the month unprofitable, but you've learned information that will be the foundation of which you make a lot of money in your career, isn't it worth it? And almost anyone would say yes. But when you have a goal or a profit expectation right off the get-go, no matter how much you learn, you failed your own goals. And it's important that you don't fail yourself. So the biggest mistake is expecting this to be a smooth sale. Like, you're going to start out, you're going to have no problems, no challenges. And in the previous episode, we talked about, you know, challenge is a part of this industry. And the other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, the consistent income crutch is what I call this, is that what we want as human beings is safety. That's a genetic code that's been written for necessary needs to survive, all right? It's like Maslow's hierarchy. You need to have your physiology needs met, et cetera. Well, you know, why do we want consistent income? Because we want to be safe. But here's the thing. If you're being consistently paid at your job, I love to say this, if you're consistently paid, you're being consistently underpaid, all right? And understand that trading from the get-go is not going to be a consistent income business. It's a variable income business. And I can't tell you how many people have taken the leap into full-time trading without even clearing that expectation, right? Expecting consistency from the get-go. I think that's a big mistake that people make, Mark. And, you know, I always get new traders, especially, even if you're going full-time, start focusing on what you're learning. If you can improve 1% a day, it's going to make you a lot more future capital than going for $1,000 in a month, $2,000, $3,000. Because the money you make today is a result of the skill you've built up to that point. What are you doing today to make tomorrow money? To me, tomorrow money is always more valuable than today profit.
Yeah, exactly. And just to add to that, you know, from my experiences working in Trade Pro Academy, you know, we've seen people that kind of two streams of people that come through. You've got people that have, you know, really found success in their respective industries, you know, entrepreneurs, etc. They come in and, you know, some of them may come in from a higher income, or they're making a higher income, right? And so when they come into trading, they almost expect to make a similar amount. You know what I mean? They expect to make a similar amount right away, or else it's not really worth it learning to them right at that time, right? And so that's one of the streams. The other stream is that you tend to have people that come in from, you know, 9-to-5 jobs, right? That have their savings, and they might not be used to such, you know, such a big amount, making higher amounts of money. And to them, you know, losing a smaller amount, losing any amount of money, becomes a bigger obstacle than, you know, putting on too much at the start, right? So you tend to see the people that have a higher income, they tend to rush things, and you tend to see the people that have a lower amount to start with, they also try to tend to rush things in order to build those accounts, right? So a little bit of unrealistic expectations to start. Like George said, it's really about focusing on learning the key concepts, the key foundations, and applying those, and really focusing on the process and not the result. Because really, at the end of the day, your profits are going to be a result of you following that process.
Exactly. In any other job, the money you're being paid is reflective of the performance. But in trading, we tend to go right to the paycheck. You got to remember, the money you're making is an evaluation of the process, like Mark said, and how you're executing it. And I think that's a fascinating point, Mark, because isn't the human animal a very interesting thing? You're scared because you're not making enough money, but then you get scared when you're making too much, right? And so I think that's a very interesting psychological point. So, I mean, and it goes to point number two, second common mistake, is putting a lot of pressure on yourself to make a certain amount of money. And the problem with that is that what you're expecting may not be there in terms of opportunity. If you're expecting to make $100,000 in your first year trading, but you start in a market that's super slow and it's barely moving, you're over-expecting. You're putting too much pressure to extract something that's not even there. There isn't that much to take. So rather than expecting something, get rid of the expectation and expect that you're going to execute the process depending on what opportunity is there. If the market's fast and there's a lot of volatility, you know, you can expect more. But if the market conditions aren't really accommodative to what you're expecting, you could really create a type of pattern where you're evaluating yourself and you're saying you're doing poorly, but really you're developing faster than any other trader. And so you might be a star, but you're preventing yourself from reaching your own star potential by putting expectations that are unrealistic. At the very beginning, I'll tell you this, expect nothing and learn some information. And the one about putting a lot of pressure to make money, you look at this realistically in life. Why do we have a pressure to make a lot of money, Mark? Because we have expenses, right? It's not like we want to get a new Lamborghini every week. We want to feed our family. We want to know we could pay our mortgage, all right? And we know that we could once in a while take some time off without, you know, without going bankrupt. Those are three things that drive us.
I think at the basic level, yeah, at the basic. I would imagine it's also something to do with, you know, social status. for some people, but I think at the base instinct level, those three definitely cover the spectrum.
Right, because if you take somebody's social status away, it hurts, but my God, it doesn't hurt as much as taking somebody's security blanket away, you know? And so I think that's at a deeper, more unconscious level. It's a safety that's the real concern. And when you put a lot of pressure on yourself to make that money, you know, you're going to make actions and you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes because you're trying to accomplish a certain thing that may not even be a realistic thing for you. I'll tell you this. If you're working full-time at the moment, whatever income you need to sustain your life, as a trader, you're probably going to need 20 to 30% less on average. And how do I compute that? No gas for travel, especially at the beginning. And I think the problem is we want to have more with less. We want to have this quality of lifestyle without sacrificing a damn thing for it. And I got to tell you, you know, if you're leaving your job at a high, you can't expect to continue higher right away. Markets pull back and there's a pullback coming and you're going to have to pull back in your expectations as well, because we deal with this. I have people who join TradePro Academy. We've seen them said, I made $1 million, I don't know, in some industry. Let's say I sold a multi-million dollar business. I'm ready to put all that money in trading. It's like you can't come into an industry and start at the top. You have to start as an entry-level position. You got to dial it back. You have to... The only thing that's expected of you at the beginning is to learn. And I understand that learning doesn't create income today, but what you learn today will make you the money for tomorrow. All right, so that's common mistake number two. And you know, that actually ties into common mistake number four. Let's just go in a different order, Mark.
Let me, I just have one thing to add.
Unacceptable.
To number two. Sorry, George. Yeah,
no problem.
I think one of the things that you brought up was really, really important. And some people might not understand, and I just wanted to touch on it again. You know, the fact where you're putting a lot of pressure on making a certain amount, the danger with that is that you can get discouraged if you've set a certain dollar amount, let's say for the month, that you want to make and you don't necessarily achieve that. You can be discouraged because you didn't hit that actual goal, right? But let's say you actually made, you know, if you're looking to make $1,000 a month to start off, right? Let's say you made $250. You didn't necessarily hit that target, which can discourage you, but you made progress. You made money that month, right? And so if you're set on making such a fixed amount, you can really get discouraged and overlook the actual progress that you're making, right? Because if you're making money at the end of the day and you're not necessarily hitting that fixed target that you have set in your mind, you're still making progress, right? You're doing what 90% of other traders are failing at.
Yeah, it's like you might not be running towards your goal fast enough, but I think if you turn around and look at where you've come from, you'd be surprised. And I think that's what we need to do once in a while. I mean, I understand. It's not like I talk about these things in a way that, like, you guys have to do this. I was there. When I started trading full-time myself, you know, I was the first week, I remember I made $200, like 212, you know, 190, very close to 200 every single day in the first week, every single day, like clockwork. And it was easy in a sense that I didn't, you know, it was anything unexpected. It was exactly what I expected with my plan. And what ended up happening is I got used to that. I'm like, wow, I could do $200 a day. And so what ended up happening is the next week, I was like $50 or something, because I wanted to start small and scale up. It was like a $50. Like, you know what? I'm $150 away from my goal. I'm going to keep going, though, knowing that I shouldn't have. Then it went to -$500. Okay, great. So that didn't work out. It was consistent. And I started again the next day. Now I just want to make back that $500. And before you know it, my first month of full-time trading was like a $25,000 loss. You know, I burned through a lot of capital. And, you know, I had capital built up because I was lucky enough to have some consistent trading before that. But the switch really psychologically damaged me. And I didn't, you know what I did, Mark? I actually took money out of my line of credit and put it back in my trading account to get back to the number I knew I should have started with. And, you know, I understand, you know, had this journey, which is why we're talking about it.
I mean, that's not for everyone. Let's just put that out there.
Disclaimer, you shouldn't be taking money out of your line of credit. What you have to understand is the money that I put back in was a small fraction of what I had overall. So it's like you're replenishing a small piece. You're not maxing out your credit card. If worse came to worse and I miserably failed at my transition to full-time, credit card had money to be paid off already. That's the point. You know, it's, I'm not endorsing leveraging. If you don't have money that you can't afford to lose, you don't have a base to start trading with. You shouldn't be trading your kids' tuition money per se. You got to have risk capital that's not going to change your lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I just realized looking at the notes again that was basically number four, overlooking the progress, right? So that was essentially number four that we kind of just connected there without even looking at the notes, overlooking the progress and appreciating how far you've come, right? So just going back to what we mentioned, you know, you may not hit the goals that you're looking for, but even if you're not making money and if you're learning, right? A lot of people's journeys that come through TradePro, you know, you start off, you learn how to break even, and then you start making money, right? You earn the right to make money. And that's what it ultimately comes down to, just appreciating the process, appreciating how far you've come, and, you know, continuing looking forward and climbing towards, you know, the ultimate trader that you want to become. And it's going to be a never ending journey, to be quite frank. There's always something that you can work on. And that's something that, you know, we mentioned in the prior episode, those are the challenges. There's going to be challenges all the way along the road. And the person that's going to be successful doing this full time is someone that runs towards those challenges and accepts them and knows that that's going to go towards their personal growth.
The day that you think you know it all is the day that it's the peak of your career. You're going to descend. You know, I'm learning stuff every single freaking day. I don't consider myself to be better than an average trader. You know, like I really don't. And so because if I did, then the average trader would eat my money. They'd take it from me. So I have to, you know, I consider myself to be an average trader, but what I do consider myself to be is a forever learner, a lifelong learner in this business and in general.
Exactly. So let's take a look at, we kind of messed up this order, but let's take a look at the final one here, number three. And that mistake is trading randomly. And, you know, this is exactly what it sounds like. Trading randomly, what is that? Obviously, you're trading without a plan. You're going to be trading emotionally. There's no real tactic behind what you're doing. There's no real strategy. There's no results. You haven't got any data. You haven't back-tested. You haven't forward-tested. You don't know what your edge is in the markets, right? And you're just seeing things. A lot of the times we see people reaching out to us looking for signals, you know, people thinking that you can go full-time, you know, quit your job on the back of signals. You know, that's a different story in its own, but that's one of the biggest mistakes people make is, you know, being coming in unprepared and expecting the results that, you know, you have to prepare for and work for.
Well, that bridges very nicely to the next topic here, Mark, because if you're trading randomly, you don't have a plan or tactic or result, there's a chance you're starting at the wrong time. So there are times in your journey that I strongly advise you to not start trading full time. Like not even a question about it. Don't start if this is you. And I think those are the people who start out no plan, no tactic, no result, trying to wing it, if you will, go by the fly by the seat of their pants, off the cuff. Those are the most dangerous times that you could even approach this journey. I understand that, you know, that's when it might seem opportunistic, but you still have to be prepared. There's no excuse for preparation. There's a quote that says success is where preparation meets opportunity. And so here's when not to take your part-time hustle full-time. All right. I think that these three reasons are hard no's for me. You know, I would advise you to not do it yet. Not never, but not yet. If you got laid off of your job, and especially with a time like right now, like, let's be honest, there's a lot of people who have more time on their hands. But just because you got laid off of your job, it doesn't mean now's the time to do it, right? You still have to be prepared. If you're saying, well, I got nothing else to do, I might as well. That's how you start, with no plan, no tactic, no result, no ideas of what to do. So just because you have the time, just because you no longer have the prior employment opportunity, doesn't mean that this is the right one for you. Very important, all right? There has to be more preparation than that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this kind of leads into the second one. And really, the second reason is not going to come up as often, hopefully, but, you know, there's a quarantine right now and you're at home, and very similar to number one, you're at home, there's time, I'm going to trade in my boxers. You know, we're seeing this quite a bit, especially at these times, and we're seeing a lot of people. Yeah, it's not a boredom thing. Trading is really not something that you can, you know, succeed at if you don't commit to it, right? It can't be, you know, I often use the word, or rather the phrase, there's no such thing as halfway pregnant. Right, you can't.
Yeah. I like it.
There's no such thing as halfway pregnant, right? You've got to commit or you don't. And this isn't one of those industries where you can, you know, make money and succeed in the long term. If, you know, you're halfway, your foot's halfway in the door, halfway out the door, and it just doesn't make sense. And you have to understand that there's professionals doing this. You know, banks pay millions of dollars to traders, and, you know, prop firms also do this, and these are the people that we're essentially trading against. You know, we're trading in the same pool as these guys. These are the sharks in the pool, and if you don't have a plan, you're gonna get slaughtered at the end of the day, right? And so not having a plan and just doing this out of boredom, that's gonna get you killed, and it's better to, you know, put your money elsewhere. So this is one of the big no-nos. If you're just trying to do this out of boredom because it looks like fun and you're hearing about the markets, you know, the market volatility in the news, or, you know, you have a buddy that's made a couple of dollars on a lucky call, and that gets you into it, better to stay away from live trading and teach yourself, or rather learn from somebody, learn from a mentor, save yourself that learning curve, and prepare yourself to take opportunities in the future. Right? Because the markets are like buses. We often say that there's always going to be another opportunity.
Absolutely. If you're bored, play video games. Like, I can think of a million different ways to deal with boredom that are way more fun than putting yourself through trading. Right? Anyway, if we move it forward, another reason, and I think I feel very strongly about this one, is if you've traded SIM, you've traded on SIM for like a month and you're having great results and you're like, yeah, I got the confidence to do this. If your only reason to go live is because you've built confidence on SIM trading, you know, that's not a good enough reason. Doing good on SIM is not a good reason to expect to do good live. And if you want to know why, I could get into it now. But more importantly, I think if you go back and listen to the episode that we did on why you're probably overstating your confidence from your SIM results. I don't even know exactly what it's called, the episode. But
why your demo results don't matter.
Why your demo results don't matter. That's an episode you got to listen. So I'm not going to go too much more in depth in there because we got a whole episode on this topic.
Yeah, so I'll just add one or two sentences on this. You know, you mentioned people being in there for months, a month, right? We've seen people that have been in SIM for, you know, 6 months to a year, and, you know, they're looking to transition into full time on the results of a full year's worth of demo trading. right? That's, you know, of those, of the three of these, this is probably the most dangerous because you have a false sense of confidence, right? Whereas in the first two, you're new to it. It may seem exciting, but in the third instance here, you've been doing this in demo and you've been getting some demo results, right? So as soon as you start taking losses in live capital, especially if you haven't worked on your psychology and you don't have really the strategy and your psychology aligned with that strategy, then that opens you up to, or rather you become very vulnerable to start trading emotionally, right? Because as soon as your demo results don't line up with reality, that's where, you know, in demo, you could have just bought the dip, Martingale, until it comes up a tick or two and then, you know, puts you in the green on 50 contracts. Whereas in reality, you'd maybe trade one or two contracts, right? And so this is where it becomes very dangerous. And we always recommend, you know, to start, once you get your start in demo, we really talked about this in that other episode. Once you get your start in demo and you just understand the basics of the platform, then it's time to go live and start small with the micros. Right,
I really encourage.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, I really encourage people to listen to that episode, Mark, because it's not the demo; it's how people are using it that's causing a lot of, you know, hardship for people. And you know, the sim thing. It's like if you play a video game on how to fly an airplane, or if you play Call of Duty and you're out there shooting each other. You know, okay, great. You know, fantastic. You have 100 kills in this session online, eating potato chips with like crumbs all over your shirt. Now, let's put the Kevlar on you. Let's give you that high-powered rifle, and let's actually drop you somewhere in the Middle East. Do you think your sim knowledge is going to help you there? You're going to have an awakening where you're like, oh, my God, this is different. This is different. The cost of what I'm doing is way different. You can act. You know, I hear a lot of people say, I'm going to pretend, I'm going to treat it like it's real money. Good luck. It's impossible. Your unconscious mind, which is 99.994% of your thinking power, knows that it's not real. So no matter how much you rationally treat it like it's real, the unconscious knows that it's safe. Here's the bad part about looking for that while you're sim trading. You build an expectation while you're sim trading that trading is safe. Because while you're logically treating it like real money, your subconscious mind knows you're not. And now it's saying, hey, what he's doing is safe. The moment you go live, all right, your unconscious mind triggers your amygdala, which is your fear perception, and it triggers fear. And the fear response completely blocks out your logical mind. Now, all this logical thinking you've done is gone out the window. Now you're in reaction mode. You're going to lose money, all right? Because what your subconscious mind is saying is what you're doing is completely unsafe. That's not what we did before. Let's go back to before. What was before? Not having any money on the line. It might take you blowing your whole entire account to get back to safety. And now you go back to sim and you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to build up my confidence again. You just repeat that pattern until you kill unnecessary capital.
So that leads us into a perfect segue. Now that you guys know when not to take your part-time hustle full-time, let's take a look at when you should, or when you should at least consider taking your part-time hustle into a full-time venture. All right. Now this in itself is quite a difficult question to answer. And this is really down to the individual themselves, right? This is something that only you truly know. Now that being said, there's a couple of things for you to consider in order to kind of have an idea of where you stand and whether it actually makes sense to do this, right? We mentioned in the prior episode, traders are always, everything becomes about risk versus reward, right? And so by going through some of these, some of the steps that we're going to go through just a little bit later on in the episode, you'll see that you'll be able to kind of quantify whether it makes sense, whether the risk reward makes sense for you to make that leap.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, number one, you know, we can't tell you when something's right for you, nor should anybody. Number two, there's a great deal of liability behind that question, right? But number one's more important always to me. I don't really care about liability, lawyers, all that crap. You know, the hell with that. They were all living life and trying to help one another. And we do everything with the best intention, but it's still very personal. And I want to I want to tell you that you get to make that decision. And it's not you have to. You get to make that decision. How beautiful is it that you're in an opportunity where you have that chance? Let's move forward to talk about, you know, when do you take it full time? Like, when do you actually go full time with this? As traders, we're risk managers. But we got to go in the risk management part of this discussion first and foremost. You know, you got to have a few months of savings in the bank, right? You're not the government. You can't create money out of thin air. You know, if we did the things the government did, we'd all be in jail. So we got to be responsible. We got responsible citizens. We might have to edit that part out. But, all right, you got to have a few months of savings in the bank. It's important because if you need that capital, if things go wrong, all right, to be able to pay your bills. It's important that you don't endanger yourself or anyone else who might be relying on you. You know, if you're providing for a family, you know, you might even want to put a few extra months aside. And if you don't really have the ability to come up with that capital to save, then there's other issues. You know, maybe it's not the right time. You got to have some capital that, number one, is put aside. This isn't trading capital. This is money that if your trading doesn't go well for 4, 5, 6 months, you know, you have some money to take out of your bank account, pay for your bills. You don't have to maintain like subscriptions to your favorite golf course. That's not an essential. Cut your expenses to your essentials and have enough money for that. That's the problem, is that people say, you know, I spend $10,000 a month, whatever it is, $6,000, $4,000, $2,000 a month, $100,000, I don't know. People spend a different amount of money. I need to continue spending that. No, you don't. You're doing something new. You're going to have to sacrifice something. Cut out all the expenses that are unnecessary, because you could have a longer period that money covers it. You get more coverage. So what I always say is have at least a couple months of savings in the bank. You know, 3 is good advice. I would honestly even go with 6. And it's not 6 full months now, but 6 months of just the essentials. Mortgage, food, etc.
You remember how much you, more or less, when you quit?
I honestly probably had about 2.5 to 3 years. And
nice.
You know,
yeah, I had about a year's worth.
Exactly. It sounds crazy to some people, right? But it's you and I, Marky, we've been preparing for that moment. You know, I remember meeting you and we were both at the same part of the journey. We're preparing for the exit of this 9-to-5 and to transition to the full-time trading. And so I've been prepping for it for a very long time. So I had long enough. You know, when I left, you know, my wife and I both left our jobs at the same time.
That was a huge jump. Yeah.
Same month, September of 2016. All right, I was trading long before that, but that's when I committed to doing this full time and nothing else. And we both left in the same month of the same year at the same time. And, you know, we look back at it today. And you know what the question that her and I usually laugh about is? You know, why don't we leave sooner? Like, having 2.5 to 3 years of coverage, you know, to me, I was afraid. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was afraid to go out on my own. I wasn't afraid because I didn't trust it in myself. I was afraid because of all the societal norms that were built around me. Safety, you know. Why would you leave a good paying job at a bank? And, you know, I was living the dream of my grandparents and my parents. You know, to be in Western civilization, to have an opportunity, be able to own your own land, you know, and property, start your own family. You know, I was living the freaking dream for them. And so when I was scared to leave, I was scared on behalf of their dream. Not a certain piece of me at all was scared for myself. You know what I mean? I didn't want to let people down. And so, yeah, it's a good question, Mark. Yeah, I had a lot of capital. And, you know, I'll tell you this. There was sacrifice to save up that kind of capital. You know what I mean?
I was 100%.
I was very frugal in those days, like very, very frugal. And so, you know, you're going to have to sacrifice to even get this opportunity. And I think that's perfect.
Exactly. And just to kind of build on that, you know, when you are using trading capital, it's not money that you have that you want to rely on for survival, right? So just building on that point, you want to have at least, you know, most financial websites will say 3 to 6 months. I'd say at least 6 months worth if you're, you know, strongly considering something like this. That leads us into the next point here.
Wait, Marky, can I ask you one question?
Yeah, of course.
What percentage... how much did your expenses on a monthly basis decline going from, you know, the corporate world? Because, you know, you were young. You still are.
Yeah.
And you had a very promising career in the corporate world if you you know, if you kept going, you would have done great things. It's just how much did you factor in? Because I think it's important when people are making this decision.
Yeah.
What percent?
I don't know about a percentage. I mean, I was walking to work. I was walking to the offices, so I didn't have really much as far as expenses getting to and fro. For me, it was expense-wise, I guess I wasn't eating out as much. So I was at home. So I guess I saved on that. But it was more so I gained in, you know, the time freedom, and yeah, I gained so much outside of monetary value that it didn't really make sense to stay.
Interesting, because for me, you know, the way I factored it in is I did like 50%, saying like, look, I'm gonna spend less. And also the other reason I factored in 50% is because trading full time is a part time job. Don't let the secret out. You know, when you get into the phase where you're, you know, at the beginning as you're learning and adjusting, it's a full time job. But I got to the point where, like, look, I was doing okay, and it's 2 hours a day job, you know. And at the time, I was still doing Trade Pro Academy on a very small scale. You guys would think I'm nuts if I told you how many people I was talking to daily. It's a very small group, and I kept it going. Like, Trade Pro was funded out of my actual trading money and my own personal money, out of pocket, at a loss, for at least 4.5 years, you know. And so I factored in a small amount, and this is an interesting fact. I don't even know if I've told you this, Marky. On days, the month where I had a really bad month, my first month out of full-time, I had a terrible trading month. You know what I did the second month? I'm like, I need a distraction. It's not that I'm not doing enough. I'm doing too much. I'm overcompensating. I'm not letting myself fall in the rhythm and trust myself to do the things I'm supposed to be doing to do this successfully. But I traded from 9 to 11. 11:30, you know, when I kind of have nothing else to do, yeah, I would look for ways to get busy. You know what I did? The days where I traded like crap, I reminded myself I need to keep a constant reminder of the value of a dollar. You know what I mean by that? Like, how much money is really worth.
Yeah.
And I would actually drive Uber. I'm not even kidding you. The days where I did like crap, I would get in an Uber, because I don't know if you guys understand how hard this is. Driving is the most exhausting job, mentally, physically. It just beats up your body. And you do it for 2-3 hours. I didn't do it for the income. I did it for 2-3 hours to get paid a salary that I know I would have to resort to if I screwed up. All right, how's that for conditioning? You know, I lost $100 in a day trading. All right, now I have to drive 3 freaking hours to make $60. You think that's going to make you appreciate your situation more? Absolutely. And so I used to do that. And I was in an Uber driving, like, what do you do? It's like, well, I had a really crappy trading day, so that's why I'm here. like, just get me home safe. I did it for probably about 6 weeks, and I couldn't tolerate it anymore, but I taught myself a valuable lesson. Never forget the value of a dollar, and know that you need to keep yourself occupied throughout the day, because you're not going to be spending 16-hour days doing this. Otherwise, you're doing it wrong. Thought I'd share that. I don't know. There might be some value. Maybe there isn't.
There's definitely value. If it's coming out of you, it's definitely value. So let's take a look at this next reason why you might consider transitioning to full-time trading is when you have been trading live with success already. You know, and what do we mean by success already? You want to have a track record of at least 6 months to a year of profitability. And, you know, that's going to give you a better sense of confidence, you know, that you have consistency, that you can navigate through different market conditions, you know, especially if you're day trading throughout the course of a month, you'll go through different market conditions. And if you can come out profitable, and then do that over the course of half a year to 12 months, then that's likely a good sign that you might be ready to make a transition. At least you have the mental toughness and you've got the skill required in order to extract those profits from the market. The next thing is, it's just going to be working on your psychology, right? You have the process, but like Georgie said, and I had the same issue when I made the transition too, right? There's a certain sense of a psychological challenge that happens when you kind of cut the safety net. Right?
Absolutely. It's a shift. It's a mental shift more than anything else. Because
yeah,
I know you traded, you know, different assets, different style, you know, before pursuing. I mean, you were even trading futures live, as far as I know, weren't you, Mark? Before you quit? So I was too. Like, I was actually doing well in my trading. You know, I was at the point where I was doing good, but the thing that caused that really bad first month is the fact that I lost the safety net. I lost that income of a consistent paycheck. And that made me force my way into trading, which didn't do anything for me. And so, you know, you need to have live trading experience before you do it live. You need to know what it's like to do it. You know, I remember the last year before I left, actually it was the year 2015 before I left, I had 3 weeks of vacation, and HR literally called me and they said, look, you got to take a full week or else you're going to lose it. I was banking it so I could take a whole month off paid, all right, so I could actually give this thing a shot. Like, that was kind of the idea behind it. And, you know, to me, you got to have some kind of reasonable expectation that you'll have success. If the first time you're going to trade live is after you've quit your job, it's not going to work out. It might, but there's a good chance it won't. And that's a really big risk to take. And risk management's your job. I want to tell you a story about somebody that came into contact, Mark. And then I know we got to get into the steps of how to do it properly, but I think that part's going to be easy. Check this out. This is interesting. Somebody came up to me. I'm not mentioning names, approach me. So I will give you $10,000 if you teach me how to trade properly. Please, I really need it. The words please and really need really got me to think. I'm like, okay, what do you really need it for? To pay my rent, he said. Okay, how much is your rent? Well, you know, I lost my job. I lost like $30,000 trading so far. I only have $10,000 left. I'm like, okay, so you haven't succeeded yet. Okay, great. How much is your rent? Told me the 3 months, we broke it down. How much is your expenses? I helped them because, you know, like, I felt for that person. I understand his challenges. I understand his journey. And it turned out, I kid you not, it was like $9,600 for expenses for the next 3 months. You know, I told them, I'm like, use the money to pay for those expenses and do something else for now, bro. Like, this isn't the time to be risking every single thing. You still have some, do what's right for your family. You don't want to have, it's a very tough discussion, you know, to tell, because I'll tell you guys something honestly. I know a lot of people, you know, I've met thousands of people in this industry. I know a lot of people tell their partners and spouses about their trading at a time where it's done bad. The first time your spouse learns about it is when you tell them, I lost a lot of money that you relied on for me to have. You know, that's not fair to them. That's not fair at all. So you got to have that discussion. You know, you got to be honest. You got to be upfront. I told the guy, look, if that's all the money you have, you know, I'd love to show you how to trade, but you're not going to succeed out of scarcity ever. I thought that was an interesting story because, you know, if that's all you have and you're relying on it and you're like, it has to, if you're in a position where this has to work or else the outcome is a disaster, don't do it. You know?
Yeah, you're not really setting yourself up for the best chances of success.
Exactly. You're taking a high risk that it will be a failure. And if you're taking a high risk with your life decisions, how do you think trading's going to go? You know, how do you think trading's going to go? It probably won't go that well. And so just be careful because, you know, I know this is a big decision a lot of people are thinking about now. It's a very timely episode. And, you know, I'm here to tell you, you know, this is when to go full time. This is when not to. And this is not what everyone's saying. Most people want you to believe that anytime's a good time. Start out. Look at me and my Ferrari. You know, people who are flaunting wealth right now, you know, are disconnected from reality.
Yeah, look, 100%.
It's not fair, you know. It's not fair to kind of hit people's subconscious mind to try to get them excited for something that is unreal. It's going to take a lot more work, you know. And so what I want you guys to know from this episode is it's going to take a lot more work than you think, but my God, is it worth it? And if you're prepared, you have a good shot. Now here's the steps. If you are ready, if you listen to this episode and you've decided, I am ready today to make the plunge. I've listened to episode 23 and 24. I'm ready to pull the trigger. And I guarantee you've thought about more than you thought you would have to think about making this decision. Now, here's the steps if you are ready to do it, how to do it.
So step number one. This is a big one. And I think this is one of the things that we talked about in the original episode, or it was the first or second episode, and it's shifting to living at cause and towards running towards motivation. All right. And simply what that means is you can live at cause versus effect. All right. And that means that if you're living in cause, you are taking accountability for your life. If you're living in effect, you're blaming external factors on your life, and you're therefore giving away response. You're taking away accountability from yourself. You're putting it onto external factors, and you're taking away control from yourself to make any changes. All right. And running towards being towards motivated to something means that you're running towards it. I mean, it's kind of what it sounds like. Towards motivation is you've got a goal that you're running towards, whereas being away motivated means that it's a goal that you're setting because you don't want it to happen. I want to quit my job because I hate my boss. All right. That's something being away motivated. I want to quit my job because I want to be able to provide an opportunity for my family, right? That would be something that's towards motivated. Okay, so that is the first step, making that big shift.
I love it. I think it's episode number 7. I just went to check it. Goals and actionable outcomes for the new year might be that one. No, episode number 4. The subconscious secret to being towards and away motivated. It's that important. We covered it first in our podcast. It's important for you to get your goals prioritized right, because moving away from something you don't want doesn't ultimately mean you're going to get to somewhere where you do want to be. And when you get far enough away from the fire that it doesn't burn anymore, it doesn't mean you're not close to the fire. You know what I mean? So we need to get you away from what you don't want and focus on what you do want. And you need to have crystal clear goals on what you do want in front of you before you even start. That's step number 1. Step number 2, which is near and dear to my heart, is create a routine for yourself. You know, the reality is trading and working for yourself, first and foremost, which is what this is, working for yourself gives you ultimate freedom. It doesn't give you ultimate freedom to do the things you haven't had a chance to do while you were working full time. It gives you ultimate freedom to plan your workday. All right, there's still a workday. This isn't a permanent vacation. It's create a routine. When will you work? When will you analyze the work you've done? When will you have a business meeting? You know, when you have a business, you have a board meeting. Corporations have board meetings quarterly. You know, you need to sit down and have a quarterly meeting with yourself. So what would your routine look like on a daily basis? You know, you could, there's no disputing that the best trading opportunity is 9 to 11 in the morning. So that's work time. When will you review your trades? When will you do your journal? When will you review your plan? When will you review your personal goals? You know, the freedom that you have been desiring your whole life comes with a huge responsibility. And that responsibility is now you got to create routines and plans. So the second step is create a routine for yourself and follow it. I have a morning routine. I also have a routine where I evaluate my personal trading. I have a routine where I evaluate the business plan operationally. And, you know, Mark's part of that. Victoria's part of that. We all sit down quarterly and we meet. And you got to have a routine.
Yeah, exactly. And just to liken this to, you know, we often make a reference to performance athletes, right? To sports athletes. And if you follow a lot of sports athletes, it doesn't matter really what sport or what discipline, they have their routines. Sometimes it might be a little bit silly. I know I follow a lot of hockey players, and you know, having been a hockey player prior, I know what that routine feels like, right? And they use those routines to put themselves in that right mind, in that performance mindset. And ultimately it's the winner's mindset, right? And so routine is so important that it's really the second step after, you know, shifting your psychology to living at cause and being towards motivated. So what's step number 3? Well, we mentioned this before, right? You got to have a plan. You got to have a plan of attack. You've got to have a plan of defense, and you've got to have a risk management plan. You've got to have plans for everything in this market, especially if you plan on being a full-time trader, right? So risk management plans, you're going to have to identify, you know, how much you're going to risk on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. You know, at which point, how much of a drawdown do you have to take before you take a pause from trading, right? All of these things have to be identified before you go live. You'll also want to, you know, test your strategy. back test it. You'll want to live test it. You can, you know, these days you have the micro contracts available, which make it very affordable and very low risk to get started. And that's some place that you can also test your strategies with minimal risk before to really get the data set before moving on to the bigger contract, right? So trading plans, big process, big step in this process. And that's step number three.
Love it, Marky. And from there, you move on to step number four. And that's starting to, now you're actually doing the physical. Now it's becoming real because the first three steps are just in your head. You know, it's your head and you have something on paper or electronically, whatever. But now you're creating the physical environment. You're starting to affect this. Step number four, set up your environment. Okay, you need to have the right technology. You know, you can't, don't cheap out on this. Don't go, you don't need 16 monitors to trade, but you do probably need two if you're day trading. All right, two or three. And today it's so cheap and easy to set up technology. Okay, be prepared. Set up your workspace for comfort. All right, set yourself up for success. Set yourself up. If the internet goes out, you got to have a backup. You get a backup power supply if your computer goes out. Okay, and plug your modem into it or your router because, you know, if the power goes out, so does your internet. But the internet, your computer, and one monitor are the backup so you could shut down. So create an environment, first of all, that's conducive to success, something that excites you. All right, don't cheap out, but don't blow your budget because that money is going to be better in trading. There's a happy medium.
Yeah, exactly. You can use, you know, house money, the money that you make in the markets to upgrade your setup. And that's a way that you can use to reward yourself for your performance, right? So
setting up your... When I started, I splurged, but I'm the kind of person personally that, you know, environment to me is very important. Like I need to, I'm motivated a lot by the environment I'm in. So I knew that about myself. So I spent a little bit more money, but you got to remember I had 2.5 years of backup capital. So it's like there's a trade-off. And so what Mark is trying to get you to do is be reasonable. You know, reasonably, there's traders who are making way more money than you're planning to with a lot less technology. So less is more in this scape, but make yourself comfortable. Another thing you need to put in your environment is visualizations. Very few people do this. Yeah, this is massive. Put images, and this is why it's important to have your number one step, shift that cause and towards motivation. Because if you know what you do want, now you can pull up those visuals. Now, if you know what kind of lifestyle you want to live, what you're going to do with your newfound freedom, newfound ability to profit on your own schedule, surround yourself by images that represent that lifestyle. You know, some people say, oh, that's faking it. I keep it real. Well, you know, you're moving towards that reality. So surround yourself by it. Put the kind of cars that you want. You know, put the kind of, you know, vacations you're going to take, the house that you want. It seems materialistic, right? And it seems, you know, cheesy. But you got to put visuals of the things you want in front of you and imagine you already have them. It's so important because when you're looking down trading and you're having a hard time, what do you want to do? Look up and see nothing or look up and see a reminder of why it is that you're doing this? What is important to you? What is your goals? Visualizations are great because every single moment, there's 2.6 million bits of information, and we only process 128 logically, but it doesn't mean that we don't see those visuals. You know, and there's been experiments where people have been able to be programmed or primed to take an action based on visuals in their peripheral that they didn't consciously even know that they saw. Important to put visualizations in your trading station all around you. You know, if you think it's cheesy, even more reason for you to do it, you know?
Exactly. So step number five, guys, you know, I'm not going to spend too much time on this one because we talk about the importance of being part of a group, part of a community, and how that really can help you develop and progress as a trader and really kind of cut down the learning curve, if you will. Not to say it's going to be easy, but putting yourself in an environment of like-minded individuals, people that are on different parts of their journeys, you know, you don't want to have a room that's full of just experienced traders and a room of just new traders. You want to have a happy mix of the two, right? Because you want to see that it's possible, but you also want to have that that bond with traders that are on the same step of the journey as you are, right? And that's where you build, you really build good network, you really build good connections, and you can build accountability partners, right? It's very difficult in this industry to have accountability partners. You know, we mention this all the time. People have difficulty being accountable to themselves, right? So if you have an accountability partner, that may help you out with, you know, being disciplined. If you're, you know, if you're somebody that tends to trade a little bit trigger happy, right? If you have an accountability partner and you know that you're going to share your results with them at the end of the session, I'm sure you don't want to go in there showing a whole bunch of trades that made not too much money, right? Trying to explain why you took these trades, right? That's going to, you know, hurt. That's going to be a little bit, require a little bit of humility, right? And so if you're conscious of that fact in real time that you got to go to your accountability partner and explain what trades you took, you know, you might not take some trades that you would if you didn't have that accountability partner. So being part of a group is huge, huge. And that's step number five, guys.
Yeah, it's huge. It allows you to model success. All right. What a more valuable tool is there out there than to be around people who have gotten the things you already want to, who you could ask directly about their journey and get their feedback and participate in discussion with? I mean, you know, if I could sit in a locker room with an NHL team, I'd probably learn a few tricks about hockey, right? So, one or two, at least how to tape my stick better, whatever it is. Step number six, review your trades daily. I only have one thing to mention on this. It's that this isn't optional. This is mandatory. And I'll tell you this, when you're reviewing your trades, you're doing it with the goal of learning. You're not doing it to beat yourself up. And, you know, on the flip side, you're not doing it to congratulate yourself. You're doing it to learn. What have I done? What could I do better? How could this help me for the future? That's all the usefulness a past result has. You know what I mean? If you drive through a certain road and you're looking at it in your rear view, the only thing you could tell yourself is, next time I'm down this road, what could I do better? You can't go back and change the way you drove that road. You know, if you hit a pothole, you're like, next time, I know there's a pothole there. It doesn't change the fact that I just hit my bottom down my suspension on that pothole today. All right. That's your goal for review your trades. All I got. I mean, Marky, I know you do this a lot more thoroughly than me.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I will say about reviewing your trades daily is if you go to any successful business and you ask them, you know, what were your transactions on a certain date, they're going to have history of that. They're going to have the data behind what they did that day. And, you know, trading should be no different. It is a business. You're running to make this thing profitable at the end of the day. You know, that's why we get into this industry, is to make money, right? And so if you treat it like a business, then that's how you're going to, you know, yield the results that you're looking for. So review your trades daily. That's where you're going to find the biggest learning lessons. All right. And from those learning lessons, you're going to learn what you have to apply, what your strengths and your weaknesses are. And then you can identify those. You can identify how to work on your weaknesses and how to work towards your strengths. Right. And that's where you'll start to find really your groove in trading. You're going to start to apply your personality towards it. And that's where your results will start to take off.
Beautiful. Step number seven is stick to your working hours. When you create a schedule, it's important that you don't overcompensate. This isn't a job where if you lay 100 bricks more, you're going to finish the job quicker. This is a job of less is more. All right. Less is more in this business. So it's not about doing more work doesn't lead to more result. All right. It's not an hourly job. You're paid for your skill and you're paid for your decision making. Decisions is what leads to profit, not hours doing it. And so, you know, it's important to get balance in your life. If you have a schedule, stick to it. You know, if you only trade 2 hours a day, which is all you need, and you spend 6 hours, you're going to be exhausted for tomorrow. You're already taking away from tomorrow's opportunity to do worse today. Not a good idea. Stick to your hours, all right? Build consistency. It gives you a chance to find more balance in your life, all right? As well as putting more value on that time slot. If your time slot's 2 hours a day and you're, you know, one day you're like, oh, I'm down to these 2 hours. Let me trade 16 hours to make it up. You're not really putting value between your work, right? You're not putting value on what you're doing. If you know you got 2 hours a day, you know, you're going to think about what you do that much more because it puts scarcity behind your approach, all right? You got a limited time window to perform. You know, if a game lasted 60 minutes in hockey, but if you were down 4-1, you could extend it to 5 hours. Nobody would watch that game, right? It's prime time. That's your window. You got to perform. And by limiting that window, you optimize your performance, all right? So less is more.
Yeah, exactly. There's not really too much to add to that one. Really outside of finding a balance, you know, if you listen to the prior episode, like Georgie said, 2 hours a day is all that you really need. And, you know, there's 24 hours of a day. Let's say you're up for 16 of them, right? So there's going to be a lot of time in the day to do other things. So find balance. Make sure to try to find a balance, whether it's working out, pursuing your hobbies, anything like that. Find that balance. So let's take a look at number eight. Step number eight is kind of leading on from what we discussed in step number six, and that's building on your reviews and adjustments. All right, you're going to want to do, in addition to daily reviews, you want to do, you know, monthly reviews, quarterly reviews, and, you know, you can even go annual reviews. You want to take a look at things such as your trading plan, review your trading plan. You're going to want to review your trading goals. How are you progressing towards them? What kind of challenges are you having? What kind of successes are you having? And what kind of things you can look to apply in the future month or future quarter or future year? And really set stretch goals and review and reflect each quarter, each month, to see how you're doing towards, you know, progressing each little milestone step over step. So that's step number eight, guys.
Yeah, it's like your monthly, quarterly, annually, you're reviewing your plan. And daily, you're reviewing how you executed your plan. Don't change your plan daily, but you can change it on a longer time frame because you need enough data to make the right decisions. That's what eight's about. And the last one is this. You know, last step is going to be a step that, you know, you learn forever. You know, trading and growing as a trader, it never stops. You know, when do you become a perfect trader? And that you don't need to study anymore. You don't have to grow. You don't have to learn new things. Never, all right? Because trading is about growing, all right? Trading is a direct correlated journey to personal growth. And, you know, when do you stop growing? When you die. That's legitimately the only answer I can give you. It doesn't stop, all right? And so you're constantly adapting. You're constantly learning. If you're looking to figure something out and then never have to make adjustments again, the 9-to-5 job is probably more closer to that goal. Of not having to, you know, do anything outside the box. You're looking for challenges. You get joy out of satisfying those challenges. If you're reflective, you're self-aware, if you're growing personally, you know, then this is a perfect career for you. But that will never stop. That will never stop. There is no retirement. You know, as long as you're doing this, you're going to need to be focused and always concentrated towards growth.
Awesome. So that's it there, guys. That is a wrap on today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you guys can think of one person that in particular that might find today's message particularly helpful on their trading journey, please go ahead and share this episode with them. Also, if you guys are enjoying this episode or enjoying the podcast in general, we would really, really appreciate you guys popping onto iTunes, dropping us a rating, and maybe a little review as well. That would be awesome, and we'd really appreciate it. So until next time, everyone, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.